The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria, Inc. For a very lovely morning to you, Lagos. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. Because of time, we're just going to jump right into it. Nigerians, including the Senate, business owners, political parties, stakeholders in general. So everybody has been reacting differently to the new directive by the CBN, that Central Bank of Nigeria, on their withdrawal limits. Both over the counter, ATM, POS, there's limits for everybody. Everybody has their own share of the limit. Last Tuesday, the CBN unveiled a revised cash withdrawal limit with a maximum of 100,000 naira cash withdrawal per week for individuals and 500,000 naira for corporate bodies. I don't know how corporate bodies would, because there's something they call petty cash in businesses, where you know you just need cash to do some runnings in the office and all of that. Anyways, so you all know the story, right? So there's no need getting into it again. What we want to look at are the impact, different impact of this policy and the possible way to, you know, maneuver through those impacts. Gbolan Olajide, who is a financial analyst, by the way, is here in the studio with me, and we'll be able to look at that, you know, very critically. Gbolan, again, thank you so much for giving us your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start from where we stopped about the POS operators. We've identified that there might be a problem looming in that space, right?
Correct.
If care is not taken, what are the most likely impacts apart from the financial inclusiveness or inclusivity of the POS and what they have brought to the table, the POS operators? What are other, you know, unforeseen, let's use that word now, consequence of this policy, especially in their space?
Well, in their space, I think the most important is actually the financial inclusiveness or the financial inclusion. However, if they also dump the POSs, then they might be out of jobs. So we're also talking about incomes now. If a number of them are not able to make as much income as they used to make, it means that their disposable income and capacity to spend is curtailed. And for some of them who might dump it entirely, then the income might also as well go away entirely. So they need to start looking for something else to do. And those kind of things will slow down activities, because you need people to have disposable income to be able to spend and meet obligations. As they spend, they help to create money. Money has to be spent. When you spend to someone, someone also spends what you spend, and money is created in the system. That's how. So it has what you call a multiplier effect if they go out of job. Let me speak generally about the nature of public policy, because it's also important to set that tone.
Okay,
there is no public policy that satisfies everybody or every segment. Do you know, Sheriff, that if you provide potable water for every Lagosian today, it will affect some people negatively? It will start from all those people that you see that push carts all around. They sell water. That's what they do for a living. That job is totally off the table. People have built factories for water, you know, purifying water, bagging them in such a... and selling them. A lot of investment have gone into all of that. But if everybody in Lagos today can turn their tap and have drinking water, what do you think will happen to that segment of the business? It will affect it. So if you take electricity, whatever you take, you see that element there. If you take electricity today and you make electricity available to everybody, a whole lot of businesses are going to be negatively impacted as well. Though we will be creating new opportunities in other areas. So the nature of public policy is such that it is not meant to be perfect for everybody, but it must be perfect for the most people in the society and allow the few who might be negatively impacted to adjust. Or we make it easy for them to adjust.
But here is the blurred line in this particular instance. The public policy that brought about the POS operators was meant to make sure that there is financial inclusion.
Correct.
Now, there is another policy which inadvertently would try or would maybe eradicate that financial inclusiveness. Is this worth the price? If your answer is yes or no, what should the banks do in this regard? Because there are other companies that we're not even talking about. There are other financial services companies that floats these POS operators that give employment to people, that put food on other people's table through their operations that we're not even looking at. So in other words, we're saying that, look, it's good, you know, that we want to limit the amount of money in circulation. On the other hand, we're saying that, look, you may have to get poorer, so get used to it.
No. Where I ended that last comment was that we can also make it easier for people to adjust or amend. So we have put out a policy. CBN has put out a policy, blanket policy now. It is possible to go back to that policy and look at specific areas that may need some tweaking and be specific about tweaking those areas, because you want to fix certain problem that has emanated by virtue of the policy. What we must avoid is to throw away the baby with the bathwater.
If we're tweaking that specific area, aren't we then going to sabotage this same policy that tries to limit the number of cash flow in circulation? Because if we're tweaking for any reason, let's say we give them POS operators to have much more money, is there a way that it can be tweaked, but then the withdrawal limit will still be with the withdrawal limit? But then the POS guys, the reason this conversation is coming up is that they can't do more than 100K.
Correct. Which means five transactions of 20,000
and they are done.
Shop. You know, which is why I'm saying, look, CBN first need to understand this problem. See, they have data, which you and I might not be privy to. They sit where they sit, and they see the nature of all transactions, financial transactions that are going on in this economy. And they know the patterns. What they may not know is what is going on in the informal sector, because they have no way of monitoring that segment. And to be able to rein in and have a better control of that segment is why we have the first policy, which intend to take all that money that were outside back into the financial system. Now, this second policy, in my opinion, has two objectives, broad objectives. Number one, which is the formal objective, which is put forward, the official, is the cash to drive the cashless policy. To my mind, there is an unofficial, unpublicized, unmentioned objective.
What's which that?
To curb vote buying. So if you're going to use this to curb vote buying, then there is a timing element that you cannot waive. Because the election itself, December.
You have to be resolute.
Election is in February. You only have January in between this election. So you're going to have to be firm to drive that non-official objective. There are no two ways to it. But it is important that CBN also reason along with the issues that are being raised, so that we don't drive one initiative and in the process, we kill another very important initiative.
You know why this is very critical? Because this sector, they're saying that about 1.4 million jobs will be lost. To me, I think is an understatement, because POS operators are virtually
everywhere.
So we're looking at people losing their jobs on a massive scale. Like, where is the space to put those people?
So this is also where data matters. CBN could access the data or showing what the activities of the POS operators. And they will analyze the data, and it will show them, it will guide them properly on what these guys are doing,
so,
and how they can be helped.
So here is the thing, Bolaho. Yes. This data is not far-fetched.
These
POS operators don't just spring up and start operating. They operate alongside a financial
institution.
Exactly. So they can always obtain this.
They use a POS.
It's
and everything that is going on that POS can be captured. So in tweaking, that's where I'm going, in being able to amend certain, you know, areas that we are talking about now, CBN will resolve to that data. You can see the activities of this guy, and then you can tweak the policy to ensure that there's a midway that doesn't kill the business as well as kill your own initiative. Financial inclusion is a CBN initiative in itself.
Right.
So you don't want to kill that initiative. So it's not, it shouldn't be cut in stone. It is, the law is for man. Man is not for the law. And if it doesn't suit what we seek to drive, we can always go to the specific part. And this is, CBN has done this over and over again anyway, where they roll out a policy and they find out that there are certain rooms for improvement. They issue subsequent circular, or they have an engagement with the banks and say, look, this is an addendum to what we said because of this reason and this reason, and this is how we will run. And they have the data to make an informed decision in this particular incident.
I want to talk some more about, you know, the instance where you can actually withdraw more, but then you pay a sort of transaction fee, you know, on that 5%, 10% respectively. And your thought on that, whether it's because if anybody wants to do anything, especially anything that is quote unquote illegal, they won't mind paying 10%. I mean, how much is 10% of something that is illegal anyway?
It goes beyond paying 10%, actually. There are also documentation issues that are still involved.
We have documentation issues now, right now. We have banks telling on people withdrawing large sums of money. Has it stopped people from getting large sums of money?
No. The telling that we're talking about, do you realize the volume of information and who is going to process it at the other end? It's going to be different when you're looking for specific offenders who are interested in certain things. When you say, oh, anybody that deposits more than $10,000 or equivalent in Naira should be reported. The volume of transactions that are reported every day is such that I don't think that the guys at the other end have the capacity to even begin to
even handle it.
Yes. But where we now have situations in which we're saying, anybody who is interested in filling the, in fact, send me a copy of all such forms that are filled every day. It has a deterrent issue. And that is why you can see the politicians are already fighting this policy. If it's that easy, if they think they can easily manipulate this policy, they won't be fighting.
They won't even bother.
Yeah. They can even go to the extent of sponsoring some of the attack against the policies. You put money on the table, you get people to protest the policy. And before you know it, it is taken off the ground. That is why, rather than allow the politician to hijack this process, CBN should remain at the driver's seat. If there are areas within the policy that needs to be changed, change it. Policy sometimes, look at ban on Okada.
Yeah.
I passed through Maryland, you know, that NEPA area at Maryland yesterday. Around 7:30. Normally, when you pass around that place, what you see on both left and right side, there is a long line of Okada waiting to carry people by that NEPA side. When I passed there yesterday, there was no single Okada. What did I see instead? Keke line up on one side of the road, and they were carrying passengers. What has happened? Initially, people thought, oh, how are we going to move? Yeah. This thing is going to kill everybody. Yeah. They will become armed robbers. But the society has adjusted. The Okadas disappeared. They have been replaced by Keke, and they are offering exactly, you know, at least a similar service without the insecurity challenges that initially led to the ban of the Okadas. So some of these policies truly are things that, like I said, they are never perfect. But you might just need to be firm, move ahead, and execute, while you manage those little imperfections that are by the side.
Yeah. I'm going to take a call or some calls now and some feedback as well on socials. Then we'll come to that other part of if you must need larger sums of money, you know, than the stipulated ones, like say you, and that money cannot exceed 5 million in a month. As an individual, then the bank MDCEO must sign in writing must approve in writing.
There are issues about, you know.
Wait. Let's go to the telephone line.
So those are the conditions. Yeah. Tough. They have a tough condition.
Including now, the banks.
They know the target.
Do you know how many bank branches that they have?
So you see now
how many customers that they have
from an issue of report anybody that deposit more than $10,000 equivalent. It's different now. So how many forms would the MD sign?
How many?
A day? So if he signs 5, it's possible to get that 5 across to CBN.
What if there are many
such requests?
Many. Uh-huh. 5 now.
If there are now demands for 50. It's not going to sit down and be signing forms. Then we need to.
You're literally saying that the bank MD should just sit down every day and be signing money requests.
No, they're essentially saying there should be no such request because the MD is all over the place and he has bigger fishes to fry. He's not going to sit down and be signing this person.
So if people want to go for medical stuff abroad now,
are they carrying cash?
And you have plenty and they want to sign.
Medical things are not issues of cash now, are they? They're not issues of cash. A lot of what we're talking about, even when we talk about the poor, in fact, we should be talking more about the informal sector rather than the poor. The average poor person does not do more than 20,000 naira transaction, cash transaction in a day. It doesn't.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
But then there is that informal structure. There is also the corrupt environment. One other thing that is very important is the issues of transaction failures. Number two goes back to that financial inclusion. When we are driving this cashless, we really push people to want to open more accounts. They want to open more accounts. They want ATM cards and all of the rest. So have we empowered those POS operators to be able to handle those transactions? We still have situations in which there are, you know, POS operators who cannot handle all that process. So there are gaps here and there.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's squeeze in one call before we go off on break. Morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Shewa.
Good morning to you.
This is Adeshewa.
Welcome.
Yes, Mr. Agolao, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I have 3 questions to ask you this morning, and I need you to answer them.
Okay.
One, is there anything on our ATM that stipulated that if I collect 20,000 naira, it will be there? The data will be there that, yes, I've collected 20,000 naira, and I can't collect. That means I can't go to another ATM.
Yes,
yes. Yes, there is something there.
Number two, if I go to POS, POS and I need 20,000, I need more than 20,000. If I collect 20,000 naira in cash, can't I transfer to him to give me more money?
You transfer it to the POS operator.
As in after collecting 20,000 naira from the POS. Now, if I now transfer to him, because there's nothing on transfer now.
Okay.
Isn't it? Can't I get more cash? That's true. Then our tech people, are they ready for this? Are we really ready for this? So that's my question.
Okay. The first one is straightforward. All those anything you do on an electronic platform can be tracked. And it's, someone has also said, why can't I open several accounts and be doing 2020? I said, all those accounts you are going to open will be linked via your BVN. So they can see all this. They can consolidate your entire transaction across the financial services industry. I know that you are the same person. Now, what was the second thing?
She was not going to use...
She would transfer to the POS operator. Don't forget that this POS operator has only 100,000 a week. So if you have already collected 20,000 from him, you now transfer another 20,000 to him and you said he should give you 20,000. 40,000 out of his 100,000 is already gone. It doesn't help him because his own limit is still that 100,000. It is you that can help, because now that means that if he decides to do it for you, you will be able to access, say, 40,000 from him. But it doesn't help his own situation.
Let's go to break. Lagos, we'll be right back. Stay here with us.
Back to back and back of the biggest talk.
It's just a general attitude to environmental laws, you know, mechanics.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. 8:48 the time. It's good to be back here again. I see Abdullah here, and we are talking about the CBN's new cash withdrawal limit. This is our last conversation on the Crossfire on this matter. And like I said last week, we're just going to look at all the grey areas and make sure that we bring some information and clarity to those areas. Well, again, thank you for coming. We have a very limited time to go. We'll open up the telephone lines to take some feedback as we go along. But hey, let's quickly touch on, let's bring finality to the issue of the withdrawal and bank MDs and CEOs signing off on that. Are you saying that there won't be any consequence or any implication whatsoever?
It won't be. You can't have the CEO sitting down approving all of those stuff. Of course, wherever they may be, you can scan form to them, they can sign and all of that. But they are busy people. And that would not be on their priority. But obviously, there might be a few instances. Don't forget that people who are involved in the not so good side of things, they don't want all this popularity. They don't want to be popularized for what they are doing. But if I have to, if the MD has to be signing form for you, CBN will know that. We'll probably get a copy of that form. Or we'll have a report on a daily basis of who are the people that the MD had signed form for today. So it's an undue exposure that will be a deterrent or a discouragement for the people who want heavy cash. The question is, what will they say they want the cash for? So it is in having to explain all these things that the people will just run away from there. Yeah. So for me, our attention should be on people like the POS operators who might be negatively impacted. What can we do? In the issue of transaction failures, what can we also do to improve on that area? But we must necessarily avoid throwing away the baby with the bathwater.
All right, let's go take some reactions. We need to get in some before we go. 01277-0993, 01277-1993, 01277-2993, and 01277-3993. WhatsApp is 0859-597-5805 on WhatsApp. So I get quite a number of people here on social media saying that all you need to do is just to try and open more bank accounts, then you can withdraw 100K, you know, if you need more money.
Illusion. Your bank account will be linked via your BVN, unless you have double BVN. And once you you finish your limit of 20,000, if you go to another place or the same place and use another bank ATM, it will tell you that limit exceeded. And that's it. You can't do another transaction. It's the beauty of an electronic platform, because you can control what people can do.
Indeed. Good morning to you. I think we lost that. Let's take another one. Good morning. Good morning to you. Yes, please. Good morning.
Yeah, this should be K. Abacha calling from Malaba.
Let's talk.
I want to talk about this money issue.
Go on, please.
You know that this money of a thing is now that we start hiding the money, because if I know that I cannot withdraw more, I will just put less money in the bank then and keep the rest at home.
Is it the money that is about to change that you want to keep at home?
That's what I'm saying. I said that's the way people will be doing that. They will not be putting more money in the bank. They will still be holding the money.
So what he's saying essentially, let me break it down. What he's saying essentially is this. As a trader, for instance, rather than go to the bank to go and deposit your trade or money or anything, they keep it at home.
That will be after the end of January, right?
December.
Because, you know, we're changing this money.
Yes.
If you go and stock up money, you will still have to carry that money and take it to the
bank.
That's right. So people also have to be careful about that, knowing that these notes are going out of fashion. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to spend them.
Right.
And then it will also, you see, it's not as if it's focused on just them. Even the people that are paying you are going to be affected. So maybe it is because they are paying you cash that you have the cash. When the people that are supposed to pay you the cash don't have the cash, you are going to have to migrate yourself. They will tell you, I don't have the money, when they accept transfer. This is it.
Let's take one last. Do we have time? Okay. I think we do. So let's squeeze in one call. Morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. My name is Michael.
Welcome,
Michael. So I definitely think that the policy is a great one. I just feel that it might be ill timed, but I feel like the overall effect would really help the economy. And I also feel like the banking system just needs to, you know, experience a whole lot of upgrade. If we're able to put that into place, I think the policies really work. Thank you. Good morning. Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for sharing
you
that.
See, the issue with the problem with the timing is that unofficial objective. So while the timing, I mean, why this busy period now? But then, if you also want to use it unofficially to curb vote buying, then there is no other timing. Election is, as there is only January in between now and elections.
More often than not, the banks have been fingered in the issue of Forex, scarcity and all of that. Some people get to buy it at official rates, but then, you know, when you approach the bank, it's very hard for you to get it. They direct you to the parallel market traders and all of that and all of that. Who is to say that the banks won't also be involved in sabotaging this policy?
It will be difficult. You see, the foreign exchange thing you're talking about, any system that creates huge arbitrage opportunities, is people will cash in on it. Huge arbitrage opportunity means in the official market, dollar is 400 and something. Mm-hmm. In the black market, it's 700 and something. That is huge arbitrage. 300 naira on the table.
Well, we have to go. We really must go. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It's
always a pleasure to have you. I am Sheriff Quadri Lagos. That's our show this morning. Have a wonderful day.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.